Well, hello again, friends, and welcome to the New Testament in a Year podcast. I'm Sean Bailey, and today we're going to be diving into chapter 6 of Matthew. Chapter 6, this is a major part of the Sermon on the Mount. We'll continue that from our previous chapter. If you're joining us for the first time, or if you're reading the Bible through fresh eyes, I think you've come to the right place. We get to join together to read God's Word and read it for understanding and even application, to allow that understanding to go and grow into wisdom. And that's such an important part of our faith journey. Not just knowing, but finding ways to apply. And that's why I feel like that this podcast has helped me and so many of us along our journey together. So reading God's Word is so powerful, but as we do it together, and we do it with the intent of growing closer to Christ and becoming obedient to His Word, we change. We are transformed. All right. I'm going to step off my soapbox a bit and tell you to grab your Bible if you can and listen closely, if you will. Let's read God's Word together as we journey into Matthew chapter 6. Let's do a bit of a recap of chapter 5 in our previous episode, or in the previous chapter of Matthew. Jesus began his Sermon on the Mount, that famous sermon where he stood on a mountain or a hillside and taught the Beatitudes, which are blessings that he pronounced on those who have these certain qualities. He talks about being the salt of the earth, being the light of the world. And then he emphasizes the importance of living out our faith visibly for all to see and not hiding it under that bushel. He talks about the law in chapter 5, anger, lust, divorce, retaliation, oaths that we keep, and loving our enemies. And he sets a higher standard for righteousness that focuses on the heart's intentions rather than just compliance to the law. And that's deep, and that's challenging, and he carries that on in chapter 6. He'll continue this Sermon on the Mount and shift the focus towards our relationship with God in our private lives. And specifically, we're going to see how we practice our righteousness. And he addresses that in three different ways: giving to the needy, prayer, and fasting. In each of those cases, he warns against doing these for public attention and public admiration even. But he encourages us to instead have a sincere heart, that we do these things to please God and not people. So, that's a lot, right? We could keep reading that over and over again, and we need to hear that a lot. And before we read this, though, let's pull out the big rocks, as we like to call it, the look-fors, prior to our reading. Those are big things that I'm going to ask us to keep our ears open and our minds looking for here. And so the first big one is the right motivation for doing righteous acts. Having that right motivation. Listen to that as we read in this chapter, as Jesus gives us instructions on how to give in a way that doesn't seek attention. Talks about giving in secrecy and sincerity. He'll mention the Lord's Prayer as a model for our prayers. You'll see the Lord's Prayer. And it's not about the length or the eloquence of the prayer, but it's about our heart's posture. Yeah, our heart's posture towards God. It's about the heart and not about the fanciness of the words or the saying the right thing. Jesus says it much better than what I could. And then fasting. He talks about that fasting, like prayer and like giving, should be done in a way that isn't about public display, isn't about telling anyone, but it's about personal devotion to God. And once it comes outside of that realm, then we need to question our motive. So that's our first one, is questioning our motive, understanding our motive for the things that we do. And then the next look for is the Lord's Prayer. You're going to see the Lord's Prayer as we're going to read this together. And notice how the Lord's Prayer is laid out. So many times, many of you could probably recite it just subconsciously and not even think about what the words are and what they mean. But I'm going to encourage you today to listen to the themes of adoration, of submission, and dependence. Think about those three things, and we'll get to talk a bit more about those after we read the example, the model prayer that Jesus gives us. And then finally, the third thing to look for as we read our scripture today is worrying and trusting in God. See, Jesus teaches us to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means that we're trusting in Him. And that reassures us that our needs will be met through His righteousness. And the next one is trusting. To allow trusting to be victorious over worry. The greatest enemy of worry is trusting in the Lord. Why worry? Because we have a great God who created this entire universe that has a great sovereign plan, and every next step is by His order. And Jesus tells us that we should trust in God who cares for us more than the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Listen for that. And then finally, Jesus talks about that anxiety, that worry. And He emphasizes living in the moment, living in the present, and trusting God day by day. Not worried about tomorrow and what tomorrow will bring. What next year is going to be. What the next 4 years are going to be. But really embrace the day that God's given you. Because as you know, we aren't promised tomorrow. Let's hear Jesus say this, and watch for the things that He brings up that we just talked about. So here we go. Matthew chapter 6. Let's jump together there. We'll go from verse 1 all the way to verse 34. 34 verses in Matthew 6. So here we go. Jesus continues His sermon on the mount. Verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward with your Father in heaven. So, whenever you give to the poor, don't sound like a trumpet. Don't sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be applauded by people. Truly, I tell you, they'll have their reward, but when you give to the poor, don't let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the Gentiles, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask Him. Therefore, you should pray like this. Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive others their offenses, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive others, your Father will not forgive your offenses. And whenever you fast, don't be gloomy like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so that their fasting is obvious to people. Truly, I tell you, they have their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting isn't obvious to others, but to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Don't store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves don't break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. So if the light within you is darkness, how deep that darkness! No one can serve two masters, since he will either he will hate one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Isn't life more than food and the body more than clothing? Consider the birds of the sky. They don't sow or reap or gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Aren't you worth more than they? And can any of you add one moment to his lifespan by worrying? And why do you worry? Why do you worry about clothes? Observe how the wildflowers of the field grow. They don't labor or spin thread. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was adorned like one of these. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and thrown in the furnace tomorrow, won't he do much more for you? You of little faith. So, don't worry saying, what will he eat? Or what will we drink? Or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And that's Matthew chapter 6. Let's take a moment to reflect on what we just read and find some application from this Sermon on the Mount, part 2. Okay, so Jesus is obviously knows how to speak to the heart, doesn't he? And that's our first takeaway, is the secret place of our heart. Doing things in private where our Father is for his glory and not for man. You see, our relationship with God, it thrives in the quiet, unseen moments as much as it does in the public ones. Think about that. When we pray, when we give, when we fast, doing those things in secret ensures that our motives are pure and ensures that they're focused on God's approval rather than human praise. And it's so easy for us to give something and take a quick pic and post to Facebook and think that's genuine giving for the motive of glorifying God. But if we step back and we truly look at it, who are we glorifying? You know, those are the questions that we can utilize to grow our faith. It's not about others seeing us give. It's not about others hearing our beautiful prayers and praying aloud, leading public prayer. It's not about the fasting and letting everyone know you're starving and no, I can't have that because I'm fasting. No, I can't eat. See, those are the things that God wants us to try to avoid because he wants us to ensure that our motives are pure. Because that will help build a genuine and intimate relationship with him. And so maybe the most practical way to do this is that we seek these opportunities to do good anonymously and to focus on the joy of giving or the joy of our private prayers and to start our day with that right off the bat with a quiet time of private prayer to build that intimate relationship. To be cautious about the things that we do for our glory instead of himself, or for his glory. Second big takeaway today is that amazing power of prayer. Jesus shared the Lord's Prayer with us, and it teaches us that prayer is both a moment of that communion with God, and also it's a model for how we should live our lives. This prayer model of worship and submission and dependence on him. When we pray, we align our hearts with God's will. And we learn to rely on him for our needs. Connecting with God, seeking his will through our prayers, submitting to him, depending on him. If we can incorporate that prayer model into our daily prayer life, not just as words that we recite and that we know automatically, but we utilize that as even the structure, a template for our prayers. We can reflect on those sections. And we can allow it to shape our prayer life and our desires and our actions throughout the day. We can break it down. Our Father in heaven, holy are you. Hallowed be thy name. Break that down and begin by giving great thanks and worshiping God. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, submitting to him. What is your will, Father? You know, that breakdown, that'll help. Jesus gave us a good model. That's some simple practical application to improve our prayer lives. And then finally, our last takeaway today is that we are to live by faith and not by sight. You've heard that a lot. Jesus teaches us that worry is a lack of trust in God. Our trust should be fully in God and not worrying about tomorrow. See, God knows our needs and God has the power to meet our needs. By worrying, we are questioning, limiting, doubting God's amazing power. If we can seek his kingdom first, we can align our priorities and with his and learn to live more by faith and trusting in his provision, trusting in his timing, trusting in his plan, not worrying about tomorrow, but in this moment, trusting in God that he's got this. And so my encouragement, I think, in this application is for us to do some self-reflection and find places that we really worry about, where worry is dominating. Commit those areas. Maybe it's not even worry about your own life. Maybe it's worry about your children's lives. Maybe it's worry about your spouse's lives, the life of your friends and neighbors, what have you. Worry about work. Worry about all those things that you know what's coming to mind right now, what God's pulling in your heart. Let's commit those areas to God in prayer. And let's ask for that faith to trust in him more. Pray that God will give you that faith to trust in him and focus on what you can do today and leave tomorrow in God's hands. That's what Jesus said. Focus on today. Trust in God. He's got this. He's got it. I love it. Thanks for joining me today, guys. And in chapter 7, we're going to see where Jesus closes up his Sermon on the Mount and he teaches about judgment. Asking and receiving from God. Powerful teachings. obviously coming from the words of Jesus Christ. Guys, thanks for joining me. May you be blessed. May your family be blessed. And as a result, may we strive to bless everyone around us. And of course, let's do that in private as much as we can so that God gets the glory. Have a great day.